is Nightline.
Tonight, holiday horror. A deadly mass shooting during a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois. Officials believe the gunman fired from a nearby rooftop. That person of interest now in custody. Plus, Jennifer Lopez, the superstar singer, now back in the headlines for a new venture.
It touches you.
It does. It's important.
The entertainer known as Jenny from the Block, launching an initiative to empower her community, and what the star says about Ben Affleck. And 4-day week, the radical shift some companies are making as employees demand more flexibility.
That's when I said, no, I can't do this. I need to find a remote position.
Why some employers are drastically changing the game.
We should work really hard for 4 days. We should rest for three.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. What was supposed to be a fun-filled July 4th parade for families turned into a horrific scene today in a Chicago suburb where a lone gunman opened fire from a nearby rooftop, killing at least six people. Within hours, law enforcement had apprehended a person of interest. Alex Perez has been on the scene all day today. Alex.
Byron, a long, terrifying day here in Highland Park. This is still an active crime scene. Officers are still here, and much of the parade route appears to be frozen in time. If you take a look behind me, you can see outdoor chairs, blankets, and other belongings that people left behind as they scrambled to get to safety. Now, just a short time after authorities identified the person of interest as 22-year-old Robert Cremo, the hunt to find him intensified, investigators finally catching up with him in North Chicago, Illinois, about 13 miles from where the deadly rampage began. Tonight, police say the suspect in the deadly shooting at a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, has been taken into custody.
It's a shooter.
The person of interest, Robert Cremo III, was spotted by a North Chicago unit. That subject did flee. A brief pursuit went on. The subject was taken into custody without incident.
Police say Robert E. Cremo was spotted by North Chicago officers in the silver Honda Fit they were looking for. It was just 10 minutes into this Independence Day parade in Highland Park, Illinois, when a shooter armed with a rifle, unleashing a barrage of bullets. Hundreds of families seen running for their lives.
I just looked back at my dad, and right behind him, this girl just fell in cold blood and just died. And we saw a few other people just get shot.
Police say the shooter opened fire from the roof of a local business, gaining access through an unsecured alleyway and ladder attached to the building. Some parents trying to take cover in nearby buildings.
Tried to break the glass to get in with my son, and I couldn't break it. And when the shot stopped again, is when we decided we had to run, so we started shooting again, and we ran behind the building.
That dad placing his son in a dumpster to keep him safe until he could find other family members.
You look at the aftermath here, and you get a real sense of the panic, how quickly everything unfolded. Here's what looks like a toddler's chair. There are chairs all over the place, even strollers, food, drinks, all kinds of things left behind as everyone ran for cover.
John Will showing us where he was sitting with his 97-year-old mother, who's in a wheelchair. They were lucky to escape.
This doesn't happen in a little town like this. It's scary. I don't know what this world's coming to.
This woman says her best friend's sister was shot.
I love her, and that I'm sorry, you know, for her sister, and you know, I'm here for her, and I hope that she gets better.
At least six people were killed, 35 hospitalized, including those with gunshot wounds, a child in critical condition, the victims between 8 and 85 years old. One victim identified was 78-year-old Nicholas Toledo, his grandson describing him as a funny man who loved playing with his grandkids. Dr. David Baum attended the parade with his family and young grandson.
Somebody brought a high-powered rifle to a parade, went up on a rooftop with the sole purpose of ruining families, ruining lives. It was a mass casualty situation at a parade. It's a sickening tale of what's wrong with this country.
Law enforcement sources reviewing his social media posts as part of the ongoing investigation. Cremo has not yet been charged with a crime.
Our thanks to Alex. Tune in to abcnews.com and GMA tomorrow for more coverage. Now for this holiday weekend, turning to star Jennifer Lopez, paying it forward and helping others make their dreams come true by providing billions of dollars in loans to Latina small business owners. Legend shared her plans with ABC's John Quinones.
You don't have to do this. Why is it so important?
It just is.
It touches you.
It does. It's important to me.
There may be no figure in show business as legendary as Jennifer Lopez.
Don't stop, keep it moving, put your drinks up.
With smash hits like On the Floor. And I'm Real.
The way you stare, the way you look, you stab your head.
From the dance floor to the big screen, and even on music's biggest stage, her name synonymous with the word success. The superstar has sold more than 70 million records worldwide, and together, her movies have earned a total of $3.1 billion. And at 52 years old, J-Lo is still plowing full steam ahead, helping to launch a bold new initiative to support Latina entrepreneurs, and releasing a new documentary on Netflix.
Part of being a great performer is being aware of whoever's around me right there. You feel me?
In the film Halftime, J-Lo pulls back the curtain on the 2020 Super Bowl halftime show that made history.
Super Bowl!
It was the first time two Latina artists headlined the world's biggest stage. But with the NFL's decision to have J-Lo and Shakira share top billing came frustration. It meant the hitmakers would need to split their time. Lopez saying in the documentary, this was the worst idea in the world.
I'm trying to give you something with substance. I want something real.
The doc revealing she fought to make her show pointed and political. In a reference to the immigration crisis, putting children, including her own daughter, in cages on stage, and draping herself in a Puerto Rican flag.
Only be 5 minutes, you'll be here, okay?
In this exclusive clip from Halftime, J-Lo revealing what she told her daughter.
I said, you look right down that camera, and you tell every little girl in the world to get loud and to never, ever back down from bringing light to injustice.
That year was just turned out to be an incredible year for me, where everything I had worked for my whole life just kind of exploded in 1 year.
J-Lo's latest project is about giving back.
Honestly, I'm hoping to kind of change the fabric of America, especially for Latino women.
The music icon, following an introduction by Goldman Sachs, now partnering with nonprofit Grameen America. It's led by Andrea Jung, the longest-serving female CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
So our goal together is by 2030 to give out $14 billion of loan capital.
That makes me smile.
$14 billion. $14 billion. And it's a lot of loans. And we are going to touch 600,000 women entrepreneurs.
Honestly, I'm still pinching myself. I can't believe this is happening.
One out of four businesses are Latinx owned in terms of small businesses in the United States.
One out of every four?
Over the last 10 years, they've grown 44%. And for women, Latino women entrepreneurs, the number's even higher.
A 2020 report found that Latino-owned businesses are significantly less likely than similar white-owned businesses to have loans approved by national banks. The average loan size is about $5,000, but along with the money, recipients also receive mentorship and financial literacy education.
These are women who've been historically excluded from the financial mainstream. And often they come to the program with no credit score or a poor credit score because no one's taught them about credit card debt.
And that's where I come in. It's like letting Latina women know, hey, this opportunity exists out here. You can go get this loan. If you need that $3,000 for that first month's rent for that business that you want, you can get it. You can have it. You know, the payback on this is like they pay back the loans like
90s.
The percentages. 99.6%. She's better with all the percentages and the numbers than I am.
But it's like 99% are paid back.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like one of the best investments you can make in this country, I believe.
Jennifer, why are Latinas so important to this country? What do they bring?
Oh my goodness.
That no other group can.
She used a great word, which I use all the time, which is grit. They're just tough. They're strong. They're made from a certain kind of fabric. That,
ganas.
Yes. Tienen ganas. Tienen chispa. They are entrepreneurial. They are inventive. They are creative. I'm still
Jenny from the block. Just like Jenny from the block, who's never forgotten where she came from.
You've got the documentary. You've got this wonderful new initiative.
Yes, yes.
And you've got an engagement.
I do.
And of course, I've got to ask about Ben.
Yeah, okay.
How's it going?
I mean, this is the best time of my life. I love my career, but nothing is more fulfilling to me than being able to build a family with someone who I love deeply and who is just as dedicated to family and to each other as we can be. And I feel incredibly blessed.
When is the wedding?
I can't give you that one. Sorry.
Our thanks to John Q. Up next, the changing workplace, why so many companies are embracing four-day work weeks and remote work.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
The Great Resignation has given workers more power and they are increasingly using it. ABC's Ashin Singh explains why some major corporations are shaving a day off the traditional five-day work week.
This used to be the middle of a work day for Stephanie Yang. Ring around the before the pandemic, the attorney worked the way attorneys do.
We all fall down, fall down, fall down.
Clocking in long hours at the office, at least 5 days a week.
Reflecting back, I definitely had a much higher day-to-day stress level. I never felt like I was spending sufficient amount of time by way of quantity or quality with my daughter back then.
But now, her Fridays are different.
High five!
She's here with her 4-year-old daughter, participating in her autism therapy.
Because of the ability to spend most Fridays with my daughter and just observing her progress, that has changed so tremendously.
What's so funny?
Stephanie's employer, ThreadUp, has switched to a 4-day work week. The online consignment and thrift store, HQ'd in Oakland, made the decision during the pandemic to completely drop their Fridays. For Stephanie, it's the same job, same pay, but fewer days.
From Mondays through Thursdays, I'm super concentrated on, you know, getting everything done.
Stephanie is part of a sea change in white-collar work, where many employees across the country are no longer expected to go to an office 5 days a week and work a traditional 9-to-5.
The interesting thing about the pandemic is it sort of put everything on the table for discussion. Where we live, how we work.
Now, as employees demand more flexibility and employers try to retain top talent, companies around the world are ditching the cubicle culture and embracing the workplace of the future. Airbnb, Twitter, and Lyft all committing to flexible and remote work schedules for many of their employees.
because it can create greater work-life balance and help to contribute to workers' mental and emotional health.
James Reinhart is the CEO of ThredUp, Stephanie's employer. He started the four-day work week last year.
Who decided that we should work 5 days and we should rest two? If we were to go back in time and start all over again, is that what we would all decide would be the best way for us to live? We should work really hard for 4 days and we should rest for three.
Reinhart says this model is a win-win.
It was clear that people decided, you know what? I waste a lot of time during the week. There's a lot of stuff I do that I could do more efficiently, have a shorter meeting, right?
And critics will also say that, look, you're not working on a Friday, but that just means we're working longer hours Monday through Thursday. What do you say to that?
I think where we are in the sort of modern technology workforce is that we're sort of working all the time. So how do we create more boundaries around the three-day weekend so that we acknowledge the fact that people are working really hard all the time?
Not every C-suite is ready to follow in ThredUp's footsteps. Some CEOs are standing firm, come back to the office, or resign.
Tonight, Elon Musk has ordered Tesla employees to return to work in person full-time.
In a leaked email to Tesla employees, Musk reportedly wrote, "Anyone who wishes to do remote work must be in the office for a minimum, and I mean minimum of 40 hours per week, or depart Tesla. This is less than we ask of factory workers." Asked on Twitter about people criticizing his decision, Musk responding, "They should pretend to work somewhere else." That ultimatum is something many workers are no longer afraid of. Portia Twite quit her 9-to-5 research job last year when she was asked to commute in for a meeting.
I made a commute. I dropped one child at one destination, went the opposite direction to chop off another child at destination, then commuted to the office. Got into the office, got to the meeting, and it was 6 minutes long. And that's when I was done. That's when I said, no, I can't do this. I need to find a remote position.
Now she's in a new job that is permanently remote.
My life has completely changed. I wasn't getting enough sleep. And so I'm getting more sleep. I've been able to actually turn in better work because I'm actually focused on what I'm doing and not stressed out about my commute.
Some companies like tech giant Salesforce strive to make the workplace a desirable place to be, no matter how much you come into the office.
We want you to feel embraced by the Salesforce culture here. So we've got plants, we've got the car, this is the neighborhood, so it's like grass, right? We got our paths.
Brent Hyder is the chief people officer at Salesforce, a software company that employs 77,000 people globally. He says they didn't just not lose employees during the pandemic, they actually grew.
Last year alone, we hired a little over 20,000 people.
All virtual, right?
And then we onboarded them into the company, almost all virtual.
Hyder even writing in a blog post last year, the 9-to-5 workday is dead.
When you say that the 9-to-5 work week, as we know it, is dead, do you mean that for Salesforce or do you mean that for the work industry as a whole?
When I say the 9-to-5 is dead, what I mean by that is just going into the office because the office is there, that's dead. Why would I do that?
Salesforce left it up to many of their employees to decide how much they needed to be in the office.
We have teams that get together 3 days a week. We have teams that get together once a month. We have teams that are completely virtual. And we allow them to do that. That's something we actually empower them to do that so they can determine how to do their best work.
Yay! The four-day work week has had a major impact on Stephanie's work and personal life.
It's been pretty transformative. In a positive way. It makes me more efficient and more mindful during the week from Monday to Thursday. Really helps me also be a better parent.
Our thanks to Ashen. And finally tonight, on July 4th, 1965, Martin Luther King Jr. said human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It takes work. From Highland Park, Illinois, to Akron, Ohio, we are reminded tonight we have work to do. Eleanor Roosevelt put it this way, with freedom comes responsibility. In this great nation, we're all responsible to make her greater. A place where an unarmed man isn't shot by police 60 times, nor a lone gunman allowed to slaughter innocent men, women, and children indiscriminately, and nothing changes. Medgar Evers had it right. Freedom has never been free. That's Nightline for this evening. Watch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.